Soo Myung Kid's award-winning novel, The Secret Life of Bees, has sold more than 6 million copies in the U.S., was a major motion picture, and has been translated into 36 languages. Her follow-up, The Mermaid Chair, was a number one New York Times bestseller. Now she's back with a novel that tackles one of the most devastating wounds in American history, the brutal reality of slavery and its lingering effect on modern society. The new novel, The Invention of Wings. It's a great pleasure to welcome Soo Myung Kid back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. A pleasure.
Always a pleasure to come. Thank you.
Where did you start as far as wanting to tell this story? How did it come to you?
It started with being surprised and inspired by the life of a real historical figure, Sarah Grimke. I stumbled upon her life. I wasn't looking for an idea for a novel at the time, but I was in the Brooklyn Museum and looking at the heritage panels of the Judy Chicago dinner party exhibit, and I saw her name and her sister's name, Sarah and Angelina Grimke, and I didn't know about them. They were the first female abolition agents in America and some of the earliest feminist thinkers. And they were from Charleston, South Carolina, where I was living at the time, and I didn't know about them. So that set me off on a journey to find out what I could, and I was really captivated.
You focused primarily on Sarah. What was it about her story that you ultimately wanted to tell? And certainly with that delicate balance of fiction and fact.
Well, Sarah moved me a great deal because of how much she yearned to have a vocation. I mean, she's living in the 19th century in Charleston, a time when, you know, so many limitations on women. They had very few rights. They were supposed to live out their lives pretty much in the domestic sphere. And Sarah was just a different kind of person. She could not except the fact that she couldn't become the first female lawyer in America. And I was just moved by how desperately she wanted to make a difference in the world and to have her life matter. And she struggled to invent, you know, her wings. And so I wanted to tell that story of how she got from where she grew up and where she came from to actually what she accomplished.
Give us a sense of how you came and how you ultimately approached writing an enslaved character of Hetty Grimke.
Well, it was very daunting to take that on. I mean, I didn't do it lightly. I felt, though, that I couldn't write this novel unless I could tell the story of an enslaved woman along with Sarah's story and entwine them together. And it had to be a story of equal weight and power. And I had to think about it. I started off trying to write it in third person, but the surprise of the novel, of writing it for me, was that very quickly this character of Hetty Handful asserted her voice in the story and had a lot to say, and it was even more accessible to me than Sarah's voice. So I did it because I was very compelled to do it. And I would sometimes stay up at night worrying about whether I was getting it right. I mean, that was very important to me.
In getting it right and having it be so important, what is fascinating is the research that you have done, certainly on Grimke's, but also on this type of slavery, because you are dealing essentially, because as you mentioned, the story takes place in Charleston, with urban slavery.
That's right. It's a different form of slavery than we're really familiar with, at least not as familiar with as plantation slavery, perhaps. Charleston was remarkable, and still is, a remarkable city. At the time, it teemed with enslaved people on the streets moving about. It was a system that was kept in place by a lot of control and a lot of surveillance. So there would be city guard everywhere. Something called the workhouse, where slaves could be sent to be punished. There were badges and curfews and passes, all kinds of ways that the system worked for them. And I don't think it's as well known, and I wanted to have that be the backdrop of this story so we could have a look at that as well.
In writing the story and even comparing it and looking at the story that you wrote in The Secret Life of Bees, this is something that you have explored, racial relations.
Right. This is a theme that matters a great deal to me. I think it probably is personal to me because I grew up in pre-civil rights South in a small town in Georgia, and I witnessed so many injustices and racial divide, segregation. I mean, that was the backdrop of my childhood and my adolescence. My history was Rosa Parks and civil rights movements and Martin Luther King marching near my hometown and being arrested in the town where I was born. This is the stuff of my childhood. So it feels very personal, and I have always felt this need and desire and even kind of a responsibility to write truthfully and redemptively about that time.
And this is something you lived. I mean, you saw the Klan in action. There were things that haunt you that make it to the pages of your novels.
Well, that's true. I did see the Klan show up in my little hometown one day, coming down the sidewalks in full garb. It was an absolutely terrifying moment for anyone, but especially African-American people, who I remember their reactions that day. And I was a child at the time. So that has stayed with me. I was part of the first integrated graduating class at my high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember what those three students endured. That turned up in the pages of The Secret Life of Bees. So to be a witness to this or at least to witness it the best that I can in my work, it feels necessary and important to me.
So ultimately, you are telling a story, and you want to tell a beautiful story as you do in this novel. But if we learn something along the way and a lesson is told, that's okay too.
Absolutely. I mean, you do want your novel, I think, to be a carrier of ideas and for readers to learn something. In this case, you know, I hope there will be something about urban slavery or 19th century history in Charleston, or rediscovering the lives of Sarah and Angelina Grimke, these incredible women who kind of fell in a crack of American history. I hope readers can learn something about that, perhaps. But my real desire is always to get inside the reader's heart. I want the reader to empathetically experience the lives of these two women and what it felt like, what it might have been like, you know, to really go there.
A number of the characters were actual people, like Denmark Vesey among them. How did he come into the story?
When I was doing my research, I realized one day that the Denmark Vesey plot was happening in Charleston at the very same time of my story. I became pretty excited about that because I did want to portray in the novel the way that enslaved people and free blacks at the time resisted and fought and even died and struggled against the system. And, you know, they did a great many subversive things to try to free themselves, or at least to subvert the system in some way, to disrupt it. And I wanted to portray that because I don't think that always gets the kind of recognition it deserves. So to embroil my characters, heavy handful, in the lives and in the plot, I mean, in the life of Denmark Vesey and in this plot, was a wonderful thing for a novelist. It brought a real kind of dramatic suspense into the story, I thought.
It's a beautiful novel. It is The Invention of Wings. It is now out from Viking. Sue Monk-Kitt, a great pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure, too. Thank you.
A great pleasure. Again, the title of the new novel, The Invention of Wings, published by Viking, by Sue Monk-Kitt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.